Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that this afternoon thou would come and be with us. We thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. But, O God, if thou do not meet with thy people, then this building is a dream. We want to hear thy voice. We want to feel thy presence. We want the intensity and recognition of thy presence to be powerfully manifested, so that not a soul will leave this gathering without saying, the Lord was there. You know there are men and women here, and they have no hope. They have religion. They have baptism. They have church membership. They know the scriptures. They have engaged in prayer. But they have never, ever received Christ as their Savior. Oh God, speak to them today. May the effectual call of a gospel be manifested in this meeting. And may souls lost be found, and souls in sin hardened by the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, talk to the Christians whose spiritual experience is cold. We have lost their first love, whose prayers have become prayerless, but whose Bible reading has become empty. Oh God, restore to such the joy of God's salvation. Bless your own believing people who are walking with thee in obedience to thy law. Stir our hearts. Make us zealous for the Lord. Give us a passion for our fellow countrymen. Give us a love for sinners for whom the Savior died. Lord, work amongst us. Work powerfully with mighty power amongst us this day. To this end I take the promise, Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take it. Thank God that undertakes for me. But the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. The Song of Solomon, which is Solomon, at the chapter 6 and at the verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army without? I want to preach today on the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army without? The true Church of Jesus Christ is despised and hated by this world. She is an outcast from the ecclesiastical. And the nominational set up established her. She's looked upon with scorn by the religious figures. She is attacked by the world. She's lost and wounded in the hearts of her friends. And she is the target of every weapon in the devil's armory. She's an outcast from Christian. Treated as a leper by society. The byword of every tongue is a hell. When she becomes popular, when she is healed by the religious world as part of their corrupted system, when she is embraced by a hostile religion and becomes part of Vanity Fair of the religious power, she is no longer a true church. But a hostile tongue. She has left being a chaste virgin. She has become a harlot. I like the third verse of the hymn 615 in our only book. Though with a scornful wonder, men see her sore oppressed. Christendom's rent asunder by heresy this threat. Yet saints, their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, heart off. Soon the night of weeping will be the morn. With the false church of Jesus Christ, I want no part. With fellowshipping with the great whore of Babylon, I want no part. I want to go outside the camp of religious apostles. I want to be a blessed part of Christ's bride. Whom he loved and for whom he shed his precious blood and redeemed to himself. I won't have any part with hope to reveal Christ to the truth. And where his name is never named, that's not the priest. Nay, church, World Council of Churches, Ecumenical Conclave, Charismatic Picture, I turn aside. Though I seem fair and good, that friendly outskirts all the land is still with Jesus. Today we declare ourselves as part of the true separation, God predestinated, Christ regenerated, Holy Spirit operated, Church of the Living God. We don't boast and put our trust in any denomination. We are not here to fight for the party. We are here to fight for the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are kingsmen to be scorned by the world, to be hated by men, to be blasphemed by the enemies of Christ. We gladly accept the
fellowship with the Son of God. In this text of mine, I find four definitions of the church, as she is defined by her true lover and heavenly driver. Who is she? One, she looketh forth as the morning. There you have her vision, the vision of the church. Two, fair as the moon. There you have her virtue, the virtue of the church. Three, clear as the sun. Her vigor, the vigor of the church. And four, terrible as an army with banners, the victory. What a power a holy church of Christ is in a world of sin and wickedness. Let me call your attention to the vision of the church that is given here at the beginning of my text, that looketh forth as the morning. Literally in the Hebrew, it is bending forward as the morning. Note carefully, my text is a defining of a day. If the church is lost, it starts with the morning. It goes on to the withdrawal of the moon, because light has passed. It goes on then to the sun in its meridian. This is a day in the life of the church. And then it goes on to the journeys of that day. To be terrible as the army of battle. Commences with the break of day the morning. It continues with the wheeling of the moon. Moves on to the rising and the reeling of the sun. And it reminds us that every day for the true church is a day of battle. There is no sheathing of swords. There is no withdrawal from the battle line. There is no parleying with the enemy. There is no compromise with the horns of the Lord. What a beautiful picture. We have painted here on the canvas of Scripture by that greatest of all painters, God, the Holy Ghost. Here we have an Eastern great company. Morning is a time of renewal. The rest of the night has achieved its end. And the new day awakens for us with a new vision to look forward, looking forward to the morning. Morning is a time of new living. It's a time of new life. It's a time of new reinvigoration and rehabilitation. It speaks of freshness. There is no freshness like the freshness of the dawn. But the emphasis here is upon the church's youth, like the coming forth of the morning out of the darkness into the light of the morning. That's the experience of the church. We must never forget what we were when we were sinners in the dunghill of sin. We must never No hope for us in heaven. No hope for us in eternity. But the free grace of God transmitted us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dearly beloved Son. There would have been no mourning for any of us except for the free, unmerited grace of Almighty God. Daybreak was caused in our souls by the intervention of God's grace alone. It was God took the initiative. We don't seek after God. God seeks after us. And God sought after us. We are not the children of light. And as members of light, each your day in the church of light, we should look forth like a morning to see God's way for His service. Let His divine commission blow out the siren cries of this old world. Let us hear the cry that comes from the lips of God to His people. It should dominate every child of God. Son, go work today in my vineyard. The emphasis here is on the church's vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Blinded eyes lead to the road without light, and the light of night on the church. How sad that the church walks in darkness. Oh, that God would enlighten our eyes. And a glorious sunrise might take place upon our souls. What did our precious Lord say of such a vision? Here are His own words in John 4, verses 35 to 38. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white. They are white already to harvest. And he that weepeth receiveth great wages, and gathereth fruit unto night in turn. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth, they rejoice together. Herein is a true saying, one soweth, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon ye be sowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labor. Look on the over white fields, white on red. 100,000 souls are passing one by one that day in Christ's truth and will tell me how much time do you spend in prayer for their conversion. Tell me how much witnessing do you do to bring to some of them the light of the gospel. Tell me how much time is that book which you're carried to meditating upon so that you might be strong to do the work of God. Oh, that the truth that the Lord Jesus stated in that passage I've just read, oh, that that truth might be its way, might burn its way, might pierce its way into our hearts and our minds this afternoon. that suddenly there may come a new sunrise. Rich harvest where salvation grows. There rarely keep celestial fruits that grow. A paradise on earth is seen. How pleasing, how divine is it. See, sinner, hastening to a priest. The tidings of forgiven grief. Redeemed from hell. With Christ divine, in faith and holiness, they shall. Samuel the Lord said, if but one soul matter, meet me at God's right hand, and then will be two heavens that is like me. Oh, how long is it since you have that? Of leading a soul out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Let me turn with you to the second part of this day. Look at it, fair as the moon. Here we have the virtue of the church. When day breaks come, the moon retreats. And is eclipsed by the sun, the light of which the moon reflects. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said, fair as the moon, or literally in the Hebrew text, beautiful as the moon. Moon which is being kissed into obscurity by the dawn has been fulfilling her function in the night, reflecting the light of the hidden sun. She is perfectly prepared for the great and gracious ministry of reflection, having no light within herself, but catching on her otherwise darkened servant the glory of the hidden sun. Then with the gentle white beam, she shines over the darkness, so that while she saw there was no dark, the deep, dense darkness itself has been made sober with the suggestion of the dead day and the beginning of a new day. The word that's used in our text for the moon is light. I wonder how you ever noticed this fact that God didn't call the great light that he made the sun. Nor did he call the lesser light the moon. You just read Genesis chapter 1. You'll find no mention of God calling these two great planets by the name Sun or Moon. In fact, you don't get any mention of those titles for Sun and Moon till you turn nearly to the end of the book of Genesis. Genesis 37. And the first night. The moon was the name Adam called it. The sun was the name that man called it, not God. But how different from the star? And there are millions and billions of stars. Millions and billions of them. And yet the Lord numbered them all. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their name. For the sun and moon are mentioned together in
the Old Testament. There are special distinguishing words used, and they're always linked together. This is also true when in the Old Testament we read of the light of the sun. And that word right there is, in the Old Testament Hebrew, the word servant, the servant of the sun. And the light of the moon, literally the scent of the moon. There can be no moonlight without sunlight. Christ is the sun. And the church is the moon, the reflector of the sun's light. But the church truly reflects the light of Christ. It is learning to put into practice the great principle of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Savior. What was his principle? He must increase. Christ must increase. I must decrease. Luna disappears when it is eclipsed by the rising sun. Then the glory of God is seen directly in the glorious face of Jesus Christ. Fair as the moon, my robes appear. My graces are my dress. Clear as the sun, while bound to rest, my Savior's righteousness. Look at my text again. You will find the figure of clear as the sun. Psalm 19:1-6, God opens for us the book of creation. And he tells us the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. They are the day of the speech, and my God to mind. So of God, there is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out for all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the Lamb hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man. So God is with his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and is circumcised from the end of it, and there is nothing. There is nothing hid from the light. It is a science of the sunlight pierces to the darkest depths of the ocean. And in those darkest depths of the ocean upon the shore, there is an eternity and patience of plant life. Why? Because nothing is hid from the heat of the rock. My text has not emerged into gloom. The light towards the meridian of the sun. We awake as the darkness leaves. We wake light on the light. And now the moon leaves us, and the mighty sun brings into the day its great rays. It is from Christ alone that we can get the vigor that we need as Christians. And the vigor which the church requires to do its task for her. Christ is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. We cannot run without the vigor of Christ. We cannot be successful without the infilling of the Spirit of God. In Revelation chapter 11, you have a description of the church. And there we find that the moon is under her feet, but
she herself is clothed by the Son. The Lord, who is the Son of righteousness, arose from the dead with healing in his hand. That Son of righteousness, with his name today. Remember Deborah, when she had the grief that came, she said, so let all thy enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun, for he goeth forth in it. The Lord Jesus Christ, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their God. True Father, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. The church of Jesus must fearfully reflect to a world still in darkness the light she receives from the Son of Righteousness. All the more beautiful when our pathway in the world is through black, dark clouds of trial and adversity. The proper character of believers is to be fair. We are to cultivate and exhibit whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of beautiful. The church's fair gifts will be soiled with many tears, but it not may never, ought never to be soiled with sin. Her character should be stamped with the purity that comes through washing, dealing, and the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. Finally, the victory of the church. Terrible as an army with power. Christ has declared unceasing war with everything that is contrary to his will. Battle lines are drawn and will be drawn to the end of the gospel age. I see that the Prince of Wales has convened a conference of all peace. Because he says that all faiths believe the one thing that makes up for you. And what would that be, Prince Charles? He says it is belief in life. Belief in life. My man, there is no life outside Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In him was life, and the life is the light of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God commands life. Jesus Christ is the sole King and only head of the church. Christ, first of all, is the captain of the Lord's church, and nothing can stand before him. He is the almighty conqueror, and praise God. Sure, he has many officers chosen appointed for his command. Wherefore he said to the ascended on the time, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I that he ascended, what is it? But I have also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Even descended as the sea also that I ascended up, Father, above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We all have been disciplined at the home. The Church of Jesus Christ is formed of Christ's unbeatables. How the devil gets a church that can keep right and refuses to retreat? The devil dreads a church that is marching on. That church is over and will conquer forever. Of course, there are divisions in the church. One church and many churches. There are different regiments. They have their different uniforms and their banners. But there is one thing they have in common. They are all sworn in their fealty to King Jesus. They are armored with the armor of Christ within. Of the helmet of salvation, or the protection of their mind, the breastplate of righteousness for the protection of their heart, the girdle of truth for the protection of their mind, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace for the preparation of their stand, protection of their stand, the shield of faith for the protection of the whole land. And they have got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the all-powerful sword of the Spirit of God. I see, said old John Bunyan, no armor for my back. I will not need it. I am not called to run away. I am called to serve the enemy. Not to run away from it. Seventhly, the church is distinguished by a previous power. Israel in the wilderness had separate standards, but they all march together in unity as they went into the conflict. The Dr. Stockton heard said, the army of the church composed of all who are sinners, except that Christ as Savior, and have surrendered to Him as their King. They have washed their robes, but they have not fought in the blood of the Lamb. The new birth is enlistment in Christ's body. Every genuine Christian is a soldier of Jesus Christ. Baptism and church membership are nominal at all, but you can nominally at all and not be part of the army at all. One thing is necessary. You must be born again. Professing Christian with a heart still in the world are traitors in the church's camp. The church as an army is not only prepared for battle, but it is always at war. Their worst enemy is over the flesh and the devil. They war against the soul, and the church must be continually warring with them, or their soul will become enslaved to them. The devil has to be dearly resisted. The world has to be dearly overcome. The world has got to be reached with the gospel. Hardness endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Perseverance in the conflict must be maintained to the very end. Victory is certain. This army will win because its leaders have already won the victory. We are not striving for a victory to be won. We are striving in a victory that is already won, that was won for us at the cross. You say, preacher, it's a terrible challenge. Yes, it is. How can it be fulfilled? Simply, not by human strength, but by the strength of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ conceals us. Take up your Bible, will you? And look with me at the last chapter of Solomon's Song. And I want to read you verses 6 and 7. Let me tell you something. It is love. The love of Christ can make us more than conquerors. I can give to the church the vision and the vigor and the virtue and the victory she needs. Verse 6 of the end chapter of the song. Set me as a seal upon my heart. This love is undoubtable love. As a seal upon my heart. This love is unconceivable love. It's something. It's a bond the heart. Love is strong as death. This love is untamable. Love. Jealousy is as cruel or as hard as it is. It is unbreakable. Love can't be cruel. The coals thereof are coals of fire. It's undiminishable love. Which hath a most vehement heat. It is an unrevelable love. Many waters cannot quench that. It is unquenchable. Neither can the floods drive it. It is undrivable love. If a man would give all the substance of his house, it would utterly be content. It is unpurchasable love. It cannot be bought. You will notice that there are nine descriptions of love. The fruit of the Spirit is seen in nine of ways. Never the fruits of the Spirit. It's all one fruit. The identity of the Bible and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, for a baptism today in the hearts of the people of God of Israel. This love that took the Savior from heaven to earth, to the cross, and to hell itself to redeem us from the wrath of God. I'm going to be here with a good friend of mine. I'm glad I lived to know him and talk with him. But he taught me to sing a hymn. Now, I can't sing, as you know, but I'm going to develop my singing capacity when I get to heaven. And then I will have class, will he be great? And the Lord will say, will he be humble by what he hears singing? But all I can say to you is this.
He couldn't say that. But it's not me. See, words. I want to be here alone. A deep, strong love that answers every call. A love like that. A love divine. A love for high and low. A mean dear Lord. A love like this. Let us bow our heads. As our heads are bowing, perhaps the music could be played to that and we'll sing that verse. And I trust that God's people will make it a sealing of a new consecration of their lives to serve God and know all the power that I've been speaking about that should be manifested and known to be lost to the true church of Jesus Christ. And let the head of your sinner hear my soul. Christ died for you, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And all you've got to do as you sit in that seat is confess your soul. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me and cleanse my sin. And through it, you'll leave this house a new creature in Christ. All things will have passed away, and all will become new. I want to be your Lord.
Treasures of earth. for a toil ends at the close of the day. Only one light to him. I could never withhold it from the Lord. Only one light to live. I must not miss the well done of God. First verse and chorus only, and then we ask the Reverend of the meeting that announce the benediction and offer the prayer of thanksgiving for the food provided.
Dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.